दैवाद्गरीयस्वापत्ययु आससाना महाशिष्यः कालेन भूय साक्षामाम् करिष्यताम् व्रतचर्यया प्रेम गद्गदाय वाचा विदित्या कृपया ब्रवीत् सा वै देवर्षि वर्यस्ताम् मानवीं समनुव्रताम् दैवाद्गरया शापत्युर् आससाना महाशिष्यः कालेन भूयासक्षामाम् करिषिताम् व्रतचर्यया प्रेम गद्गदाय वाचा विदिता कृपया ब्रवीत् Kadama. By certainly Devarishi of the celestial sages. Baraya the foremost. Tam Har. Manabim the daughter of Manu. Samanu Bratam fully devoted. Daibad, then Providence. Gariyashaha, who was greater, but you from her husband. Asasanam, expecting. Maha Asisaha, great blessings. Kalena Bhuyasa, for a long time. Kshamam, weak. Karisitam, emaciated. Bratacharaya, by religious observances. Prema, with love. Gadgadaya, stammering. Bacha, with a voice. Piditaha, overcome. Kripaya, with compassion. Abrabid, he said. Translational purport by the English Prabhupada. The daughter of Manu was fully devoted to her husband. Look upon him as greater even than Providence. Thus she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice soaked with great love. You repeat after me. The daughter of Manu, was fully devoted to her husband. Looked upon him as greater even than Providence. Thus she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kadamma, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice soaked with great love. Purport. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband. And then there will be happy life. If the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, then there cannot be any peace in the home. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. From Mahabharata, very skinny, and therefore her husband became compassionate. He knew that she was the daughter of a great king and yet was serving him just like an ordinary woman. She was reduced in health by such activities, and he became compassionate and addressed her as follows. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana salakaya sakshurun nilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namah. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Bharanda Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Prasarini Nidhubisaisa Sunavari Pasyata Deshtarini Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Rajakadana Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the dialogue between Maitreya Muni and the Vidura, Saint Vidura, continues. It plays actually the most important aspects in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's from such important dialogue, actually we can shape our process in Krishna consciousness so that we are constantly guided, so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. Now here we're describing about the relationship between Devahuti and the Kadamba Muni. And the Kadamba Muni also was a great saint. And the Devahuti, the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, was also a great devotee of the Lord. Of course, then Kapila will be born from them. But Kapila was born from Mother Devahuti and the Kadamba Muni. So, now here the one of the most important teachings that we can get from this sloka is that the relationship between the husband and wife, and it should be just like in our society. Sometimes the dealings are not so, although it is designed very nicely, but somehow the individuals cannot keep it up to the standard in many cases. So I think it is our duty to follow such guidelines so that at least as closely as possible we try to follow it. Of course in Kali Yuga, although it may not be perfect for all of us to follow these footsteps of these great saintly personalities, but at least we must try our best so that we follow at least the basic principles of these great examples. So that the only reason is just for our own well-being and advancement in Krishna consciousness, for our own benefit, we must follow. Especially the relationship between husband and wife, especially in Kali Yuga, you see in the world of karmis, actually there is no human relationship that we are observing in our day-to-day activities. There is no human feelings among each other. Everyone is acting actually practically like animals. Prabhupada used to call like that. It is not exaggeration. Actually, it is sometimes even lower than animals. that the symptoms that we see about this day, abortion and all these issues which do not deal with the Krishna conscious spirit, these are inhuman activities actually. Inhuman in the sense that they have lost the sense of responsibility, and they have lost also the sense of being a human being. That we see it very prominent, especially the relationships among in the world of karmis, between husband and wife. In fact, there is no family structure. There is no family structure in the so-called, let's say, Kali Yuga, civilization, the civilization of science and technology. Everyone is acting like machines. They stay together for a little while and they just finish. And there's no feeling of respect, love, and responsibility. So that's very prominent among in the world of, let's say, karmis. But as devotees of Krishna, is most advanced form of civilization. At least in our case, we should try our best as much as possible so that we can keep up at least some of this system of human civilization. So, especially this, the feeling between between the husband and the wife in the Vedic culture is so beautiful. Just like here Prabhupada is giving, like Gandhari, she was prepared just because she knew her blind husband, not trying to dominate him, rather trying to be more humbler. Her mentality is tuned in such a way that she's giving her life to serve him. So there's great examples. Similarly, Sita Devi and Lord Ramachandra, the way the relationship between them is just a wonderful feeling of mutual love and respect. Similarly here, Devahuti is expression, and is a great respect for Kodama Muni, husband. So that way, the flow of love and respect is very closely tied. Ultimately, for the well-being of each other in the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness. Of course, not that they are just bodily attracted to each other, but the ultimate purpose is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, with a good, harmonious feeling in the relationship. That way, one helps each other in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Actually, that is the process. Being entered in the Grihastha Ashram actually is meant to also provide a facility so that each one can be advanced in Krishna consciousness. Especially, it is the duty of the husband to protect the wife and guide her in the process of Krishna consciousness. So if the husband is not Krishna conscious, is what to think about the situation? It's going to be very bad. So it is of vital necessity that husband becomes a pure devotee of Krishna. He's completely Krishna conscious so that he can guide her, his wife, in the process of Krishna consciousness. Actually, we see, and sometimes, although it may be misunderstood, let's say entering Grihastha Ashram, actually, it is also a noble ashram. It is not that one ashram is superior to another ashram artificially, but actually, this ashram has its own merits to advance in Krishna consciousness. Not that one ashram is has to be is spoken very, very low or decried. It's not like that. But rather, we should understand the purpose of entering into that particular ashram. The purpose of entering into the ashram is to make facility so that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. So it doesn't matter whether it's Brahmacharya ashram, Krishna ashram, Sannyasa ashram, Vanaprastha ashram. These ashrams are there. But ultimately, these ashrams are meant to to provide facilities so that for those individuals who can advance in Krishna consciousness. You know, we find stories about Bilva Mangala Thakur. Although he was so much attracted to this prostitute that we are hearing, but somehow by the help of this prostitute, actually Bilva Mangala ultimately became a pure devotee of Krishna. By her instructions, that if you can, you have so much attraction for me, but if you can engage this attraction, or if you can develop the same type of attraction for Krishna, how wonderful it will be. So like that, sometimes by Krishna's arrangement, certain situations are created so that even in these type of relationships one can help each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. So I think the proper situation has to be understood very properly. Then there will be no criticism whether this asam, that asam, that asam. But ultimately, whatever we are, the purpose is to advance in Krishna consciousness. So it should be the standard also in our movement. In our movement, sometimes the family in the situation, especially Grihastha Ashram, is so unstable. Of course, a few exceptions. But mostly we find that so much instability is there. That means we are not very mature in our relationships. Both men and women, both are immature. So when both are immature, such things, we separate each other and try to make each other difficult in advancing Krishna consciousness happens because of our immaturity. So I think it is our duty to contemplate very carefully and mold our life in Krishna consciousness so that once we enter this, you must stick to the principles and then give good examples to the society so that the whole world will appreciate. At the same time, it will be good for each one of us, for our own benefit in advancing Krishna consciousness. Why? Because after all, these are all temporary arrangements. So long as somehow by Krishna's mercy and by Prabhupada's mercy, when one is put into that particular type of, let's say, ashram or that engagement, and it is understood that we must exercise that ashram or that engagement solely to spread Krishna consciousness. It's not just for some artificial enjoyment temporarily, and when that artificial enjoyment is finished, then we forget each other. It's not like that. It is a lifelong commitment in the sense that we must do things together to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's like this example is very nice. Gandhari. Gandhari, she followed even her husband, Dhritarashtra, even toward the end, up to the end. From the beginning up to the end, should be like that, the relationship. It should be like that. And this relationship would be understood because it is good for our own benefit. It is good for our own advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that way we like to create a system of standard in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in the name of Krishna consciousness, we do temporarily things like this, that changes, this and that, then it makes a very bad impression of the society. Very bad impression. That's like, sannyasis, going away here and there and falling and, getting again married. This is a very bad example. Like in India, it doesn't happen so often. Like in the Madhava Sampradaya, although they give sannyas from very childhood, they have a system of giving sannyas, because candidates are examined very carefully from by reading the horoscope and everything. When one has the qualification to become a sannyas, then they normally give from very childhood. But then what happened during the last, thousands of years, generation, and hardly about two or three fell down. The history of sannyas is like that, especially in the Madhava Sampradaya. So they're very strict, and because it is a disgrace, it is a But you know, one thing sometimes in our society we do things to take too easy, you know, to make it too cheap. So it should not be like that. But you know, once this is not only applied in sannyas, but in all asanas, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. Actually, it is in all asanas. So we have to develop, you know, this good qualities and the responsibility. And this is actually called Krishna conscious. Otherwise, why can I abandon things artificially? But this is not a very good example. So especially, let's say, grihastha ashram in our society is so unstable all over. So now it is our duty that we try to, you know, stick to the principle very properly, and so that we can represent ourselves as good Krishna conscious devotees, as a great Vaishnavas, the Lord. Because after all the great acharyas, all practically all, you know, went into grihastha ashram. It's not that artificially one doesn't just maintain an artificial standard. It's not like that. And also, it should be understood very properly that entering grihastha ashram, you know, doesn't, you know, sometimes, you know, in our society, you know, there may be, you know, sometimes immature, you know, statements about different ashrams. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, you know, ultimately, all these ashrams are meant to advance in Krishna consciousness. So in that capacity, although we are put temporarily in certain, let's say, ashrams, but ultimately we are not neither, you know, we are neither sannyasi, you know, brahmachari, grihastha, or vanaprastha. Ultimately we are eternal servants of God. But temporarily we are put into, you know, these temporary positions. So, but while we are there, we make preparations so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So that every ashram should be honored with respect, and so there should be, you know, no discrimination when we understand properly. So, but the only quality, the standard we need is that we try to maintain this ashram as perfectly as possible, as closely as possible, as according to the Vedic standard and style. Then, you know, there's no conflict, and you know, everything is very nicely designed, and then that make room for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So this is very instructive, that especially the relationship between husband and wife, once it is set by Krishna's arrangement, you should take it as a Krishna's blessings. It's taking from the blessings of the spiritual master. So we are put together not just by artificial arrangement, but it is, we are put together by Krishna's arrangement, by Prabhupada's arrangement. So when we put together like that, then our only request would be, you know, Prabhupada always praying to the spiritual master, yes, you kindly guide us so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So that way there should be no conflict, there should be no, you know, no hatred each other. Rather, you know, to try to help each other. Of course, the physical relationship doesn't have to be physical relationship, it will be just completely spiritual. So that way there should be always harmony and a love. And when that happens, actually, the, you know, they say, the grihastha ashram could be like in the heavenly planet. Like Prabhupada told me one time that entering grihastha ashram, when they do things very nicely, it is as good as staying in the Vaikuntha planet. So that way, you know, you can be very happy. That way you can have a very life in Krishna consciousness. Children can be reared very nicely in Krishna consciousness. But when the husband and the wife, you know, have conflicts, then children born become completely disturbed. And that way, you know, the children become misguided, and then you know, they will go away, stray, and it's a whole trouble in society. But then when, you know, the father and the mother get together, then the child become more healthier, and he become more, you know, easily, you know, guided in the advancing Krishna consciousness. So that way, you know, only good things are there. So this way, you know, we can guide ourselves in the process of Krishna consciousness. So these examples, we should always read these examples. That's why it's like in the Mahabharata, in these nice places of the Vedic culture, where we can read very nice examples. I think we should be guided, whatever ashram that we are in. that we can always get guidance. It is not that information is not available. It is everything is available for our perfect guidance in Krishna consciousness. But we have to be willing enough to follow, you know, these guidelines and the footsteps given by great you know, saintly people. So that way, you know, we should be advancing Krishna consciousness that way. So this is a nice example, and we should try to keep it up, standard of our ashrams. And that way there should be always love and harmony. There should be always, you know, this homogeneous spirit of Krishna consciousness helping each other. Krishna consciousness actually is Sankirtan movement. That means we help each other. In the grihastha ashram, you know, the husband and wife help each other, children help. And similarly, in every aspect about Krishna consciousness, we should try to help each other. Not try to exploit each other, but trying to help each other in Krishna consciousness. So long as that mentality, you know, is there, so long as we are thinking in that direction, then wherever we are, you know, we'll be always in ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. We'll be always enthusiastic. We'll always, you know, in spite of great dangers or great difficulties, we'll be always willing and very happily to overcome that difficulties. Difficulties not all will come, you know, but we'll be always willing to face the difficulties, to somehow be able to overcome the difficulties also. But then when, you know, when my mind is not tuned properly in Krishna consciousness, then the moment I see a little difficulty, then I'll try to retreat my steps. I don't want to, you know, face that situation when I'm not strong in Krishna consciousness. But the moment, so long as we are, you know, properly, our mood is properly, you know, guided in the process of Krishna consciousness, then you'll be always enthusiastic, you'll be always strong in Krishna consciousness, and you'll always get inspiration, you'll be always enthusiastic, whatever situation it may be. So this comes, you know, by following the footsteps of these great acharyas, and by following the orders of the spiritual master very nicely, and by having an always this enthusiastic in a sadhu sangha spirit. So that way everything will go on very nicely. So our time is up. And,
so we have a few minutes for questions.
Okay. So anybody has any comments, questions?
So
we have to be, you know, very much say, learning how to be responsible. And also understanding that the real meaning of spiritual life, you know, spiritual life is not just for a soul, but it is a It is an eternal process of freeing one's, let's say, this bound up state of this Atma, or the Self, you know, from this influence of this, by the influence of the three modes of material nature. So, and spiritual life is actually the most serious matter. But when one doesn't take it very seriously, then everything will, you know, he will take it so easy, then but nothing will work. Ultimately, you know, he'll fall down. So especially in the matter of, let's see, in our system, you know, taking sannyas as the last stage of in this spiritual, you know, ashrams. I think that we have to, I think, drink it very, very carefully. Especially now, you know, Prabhupada, you know, because Prabhupada, by his blessings, you know, everyone can become, you know, very strong in Krishna consciousness, especially in his, he's always there, but especially in his physical presence. But I think in his absence, physical absence, we have to be even more concerned about it, because they, that way, you know, people will make fun of it, especially the, so when we become very sincere and we become, you know, very much say, exemplary to the society, then Prabhupada's good name will be, you know, increasing more and more. His names will be glorified more and more. But then if we become to dilute, you know, to say, you know, spiritual strength, you know, spiritual in this culture, then his name will be, you know, will be smeared with, you know, with the blasphemies and all kinds of undesirable comments. So we don't want to do that. So I think at least the way that we should feel about the spiritual master is that actually these, the disciples, you know, who are responsible to make a spiritual master famous, and also to make a spiritual master, you know, go down, it is up to the disciples. So in order to maintain a good Krishna conscious culture, we just have to learn how to become a little more responsible. Individually, talking about individually as well as collectively. Collectively, in Krishna consciousness, actually, we are also, you know, it's collective, this Sankirtan movement. It's collectively. And individual means we must be strong in our own sadhana, and we must be, you know, strong in our own responsibility, in our duty, so that we are, both are required, individual, you know, strength as well as collective strength. So when these things are, but collective strength will come by individual strength. So if you are not individually strong, then others may tell you, "Prabhu, you do this," then you will never be strong. So both things are required, that individual strength as well as collective strength. Of course, this individual strength, collective strength come. Individual strength comes by following the order of the spiritual master very closely and always thinking about him, how to make his name most famous, and how to make his mission most successful, always thinking about him, always how, that is what happened, you know, in this, this, you know, last, let's say the beginning of this year, you know, some of our, you know, our brothers left. So that has a strong implication, you know, is he really, you know, what is the import? The explanation is that, you know, so long as you are thinking about your spiritual master very genuinely, then, you know, there's no question. But, you know, it will fall automatically. Not that somebody has to tell you, but you have to contemplate yourself whether I'm really doing so that my spiritual master will be pleasing by my action, by my words, or, you know, by my thought. So the inner, you know, this say, the inspiration that comes in, you know, that if it doesn't harmonize, you know, that, you know, that the instruction of the spiritual master, and then when there is a conflict, then how to resolve is that it can be resolved by always thinking which way, you know, the spiritual master would be, you know, most satisfying if I act in which direction, or if I go in which direction, or if I speak which way, then the answer actually will come. Will come if we contemplate very properly, you know, in the order of the spiritual master. So that why the individual strength maintains so long as, you know, you follow very closely the order of the spiritual master. You'll be very strong, I mean, at least internally. This is called internal strength. And the external strength, you know, sometimes, you know, someone may tell you, and by force or this, that you seemingly look like very strong, but actually internally you're very weak. That weakness comes due to the lack of proper inspiration from the spiritual master. when you are fully inspired by the spiritual master, there will be very strong internally. No one can change you. Even the whole Himalayan mountain falls, you will never deviate. Yeah. But you may not be able to do so much this or that, but at least internally you will remain very strong. So that individual strength is required. And then when that individual strength also will manifest in the collective strength. You know, everyone is like that, then naturally there will be collective strength. So, you know, these are very important aspects of our, you know, sadhana, maintaining proper sadhana. Proper sadhana, maintaining proper sadhana is the source of the internal strength. And then this is sankirtan, or is a collective, you know. Sadhu sangha is required to maintain our, you know, collective strength. What aspects are very important. So, anything else?
Jai
Jai.
Hi, Bob.